right now around you, you have exactly the ingredients you need to awaken to the next level of synarchy, of teamwork. And that means through your biology, through your relationships, through your community, through everything, at all levels. So whatever questions you have about your health, about your relationships, about your business, I haven't got enough money, I haven't got this, all of that is contained in this key. Like, you have to address the relationships in front of you right now.
This is an honor, a pleasure, a dream come true. You know, combining mystic intelligence with, you know, the innate historic value of, you know, some of the most ancient astrological philosophies in the world, and to bring it all together in an art form to help understand our moving parts, what makes us who, how we navigate through this world, is the greatest joy to be here with you fellas on this beautiful rise in the mountains of northern Ibiza. How does it feel today?
Love it. Yeah, love the wind just flying around us.
I love, you know, the symbiosis of everything, right? When organisms can become super organisms and we can connect on such a high vibration that we're met in equality through each other's eyes and through the lenses. And that's really tapping into this, you know, paradigm that we need to be entering at this point. You know, we've gone through the Kali Yuga, or whatever you want to call it, the age of deceit and bronze and metal and war, and we're in it right now, heavy. And understanding keys like the 44th key, do you think, even not having that in your line, in your gene keys, are you able to still get the intelligence from it and learn from the wisdom of that, so you can start seeing how you can operate that with yourself and your close knit tribe?
Yeah, I mean, I think the gene keys are, you know, every gene key is for everyone. Every key has a universal teaching embodied in it. We happen to have certain ones imprinted in our profiles so that we can work through those algorithms. But they're in, it's like our DNA. Every single aspect of DNA is encoded in every cell,
right?
The whole genome, right? And it's the same with the keys. These are gene keys, after all. So when you dive deeply into any one, regardless of whether it's part of your profile or anything, it is a universal teaching, and it will have a deep application for anyone's life. And that's why, you know, in the Gene Keys book, it's the code book of consciousness. So you can open it. It's the I Ching in a different form. Mm-hmm. And you can open it anywhere, and you'll have exactly the teaching that you need from where you've opened it. So that's, yeah.
I'm glad I asked that question.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's an important question to ask, because a lot of people out there that are getting into the Gene Keys or don't know what it is on the sideline, you know, could take a lot from just knowing that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just like holistic health. You know, if you're just focused on one part of the body, you're missing the whole boat.
Yeah.
You know, we have to take a homeopathic, you know, expression with it. Okay, so what's on our hearts and our minds right now is, you know, synarchy, teamwork, interference, the 44th key. And you guys have been going back and forth on this over the last few days, your whole lives. And I've been tuning in and listening in to the dialogue. And it's very interesting for me, because I do carry this key. And I'm able to reflect into it how I feel when I'm at my highest virtue, my highest gift, and my highest value. And that is by not being in a place of dominance or, you know, anything outside of being one with the group, if you will. And I thrive in that energy. I thrive when people are teaching me things, when I can shift into becoming the student. You know, this is a coding that I just always had as a kid, you know, playing in sports, having a father who was a wisdom teacher. You know, I was groomed, if you will, to want to learn and to hear things from other people. And I think the breakdown of this entire, you know, key for myself is a breakdown of communication and a breakdown of, you know, how do we relate to each other? Can one of you guys just start breaking down the 44th key and how it can be such an effective tool for not only yourself, but for your loved ones.
Well, I'll begin while, because Elijah then can busy himself with the teas. Mm.
By the way, this is also a tea ceremony. And before you even get into that, tell us what we're having.
So this is a pu'er called Tiger's Nest, and the leaves were picked in 1990. So it's been waiting all these many decades in order to sing this song for us today. And it's an extremely beautiful grounding tea. And one of the reasons why I love tea, and as our common tea teacher Poe reminds us, that it connects man, human, tea, with nature, with the celestial realms, with love, with each other. So today we'll drink the same being and have it swirling within us and to awaken the intelligence of this moment. So giving thanks to the medicine of pu'er and to these ancient leaves, and also to the medicine of presence that we get to share.
Beautiful. Thank you for that.
Yeah, so I think it's a really beautiful thing for people who are new to Gene Keys, for example, like just for us to do this and just explore just one key, you know, and go and see how deep the rabbit hole goes on one key. And we've chosen today for lots of reasons, but one of the reasons is that the sun is moving in an arc all the time, and it's moving around these archetypes and triggering them as themes throughout humanity. And then we're coming in, we're being born, we're incarnating with, you know, with alignments with these certain keys, as we know through our profile.
Sure.
So people born today will have Gene Key 44 as their life's work, you know. Yeah. and they're going to take that out into the world. You know, they're going to be a little baby obviously today, but they're going to, you know, welcome, by the way. The winds. Wow. And so today the sun is moving through this key. So it's a really beautiful one to talk about it, to presence it. And as Elijah was saying, elementally, every key has a relationship to a hexagram in the I Ching. It's a, you know, and so this one is the wind element, which we have a lot of today, the Balearic winds, you know, which of these islands, which are beautiful and mysterious and, you know, full of, you know, spices and portents and myths and ancient memory. And then we have heaven, you know, heaven on top. So these two trigrams of heaven above and the wind below. So maybe that can guide our conversation. I think the 44 is a special one in a way, only in that it's one of what I call the master keys. And those are the double-digit numbers, 11, 22, 33, 44, and 55. Those five in the Gene Key story have a really important, they're kind of master keys. So they open up huge realms of interconnected understanding, and between them, they tell the story of the evolution of consciousness, actually. So we're going to dive into 44, and because it has so many beautiful patterns and mythologies that are woven through it, and practical wisdom for all of us as well, I hope. As you said, it's the gift is teamwork. It's about teamwork. So those three words are like the foundation. So the shadow, there's always a shadow, is interference. So we can get into that. What does interference mean? It's an interference frequency field. And then the gift that's hidden in the shadow is teamwork. It's like, what happens when you can harness the energy that was interference and you start to kind of coordinate, collaborate, work in relationships? Well, be honest, be transparent, you know, accept the shadow, work with the shadow. That's when teamwork emerges. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the highest, called the Siddhi, it's a Sanskrit word meaning divine essence. That's the expression of a beautiful word called Synarchy. And Gene Keys is full of new words. You know, I like to use new words that people don't know, because then you can, or not so much anyway, because then you can really, especially for these magical states, like Synarchy is a beautiful word that has so many dimensions in it. So I want to get into that as well. And like, what do we mean by Synarchy? How does it relate to anarchy or heterarchy and hierarchy? It's very much connected to all those. So anyway, that's by way of an introduction to Gene Key 44. Just set the stage.
I love it. All of that, I think, is relative to our individual lives and our collective lives. Like, this is a root force. Thank you very much, brothers. Thank you for the pour. It's an honor. That's nice.
I don't know, maybe we start with the shadow. Do you think? So, yeah.
The shadow it is.
The shadow. Elijah, do you want to start us? What is a shadow, for a start? And why interference?
Shadow, in my experience, is the teacher that is here to teach through constriction, confusion, and victimization. So it's not necessarily a code that we're getting rid of, but unwinding something that has been locked up and miscommunicated. And interference is that noise in relationship, that unease and fear of the entropy of the world, my fear that everything is breaking down and I feel so uncomfortable or so lost in it that I lose access to healthy relating, to true relationship, to an open-hearted relationship. And it can come through reactive and repressive ways. The shadow, the victim state, I might be reactive and angry, and I might be repressive and afraid, but they're both the same shadow playing themselves out. Right. And with interference, we have misjudging. I keep making the same mistake with these relationship patterns, that I'm not really integrating the information. So I keep going down that addictive loop. Or suspicious and you know, distrustful of, well, I can't actually let you into my heart. You know, I can't actually let that possibility open to me. So I'm going to use my own, I'm going to actually impose interference on the world so that I can stay in this disjointed state.
So like a pseudo protection.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
Operating unconsciously.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, as beautifully said, so interference can exist on many levels. Interference in the biome, in the body, in the chemistry of the body. Interference as a frequency. Humans interfering with the flow of nature, you know, of Gaia. Interference of the mind, you know, trying to fix things, that don't need fixing. We're constantly embedded in this sort of pattern of interfering with the nature and the way of things, the Tao. You know, it's an old human habit. It's an old human addiction that arose out of fear long, long time ago. And even the fact that we believe that we're interfering, you know, there's a very, you know, you'll see that the shadow and the higher state, the Siddhi, live kind of quite closely within each other in some way. So the highest, it's maybe good to say at the beginning, like, so that people aren't alarmed, that the synarchy holds the interference. It kind of nestles in there. So the shadow pattern is actually perfect. It's part of the working out of consciousness to get back to synarchy.
So is it keeping it at bay and balanced so you can pull from it little pieces that can help enhance your experience? Is synarchy holding the shadow in that way? Like, you know, just breathing with it, but imposing its will to hold it at bay and not allow it to overrun.
Kind of. I think it's larger than holding it at bay. It's like the...
Or it's alchemizing
the mother
it.
Or the father that allows the child to make their mistakes, you know, but and then knows that child will come back.
Yeah.
So there's a great freedom in the very kind of underpinning of consciousness itself, that we're entitled and we're allowed and we're even empowered to make mistakes and learn from them.
Yeah.
And so the interference, even though we, you know, it manifests sometimes in horrendous ways, and in our world we see it all the time. You know, we see it right now, looking across the globe, and we see this, you know, terrible acts of violence, collective violence done, you know, in the name of something. So, you know, but it's actually it's the interference frequency at work through the, you know, because we're not able to work as teams yet. You know, like the globe, we haven't harnessed our love. So we're still influenced strongly by those old reptilian frequencies, you know, those ancient kind of survival instincts that are wired into us. So we see it everywhere. We're kind of in a turning point where we're seeing both the positive and the negative kind of playing out on the world stage, you know, and we've made so many leaps. You know, when you look at our civilization, we're doing so well in so many areas. We're collaborating in so many areas, and yet the old patterns just keep coming back. The old addiction, and in gene keys, you have every key has a partner, a programming partner, and the partner of gene key 44 is gene key 24, and that has an exact correlation. It's the opposite hexagram in the I Ching. So if you know the I Ching, it's made up of these lines, yin, 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 yang, 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 you know, those yin and yang lines. And so they're opposite, exact opposites in the code. So they work with each other, those partners. So gene key, shadow gene key 24 is addiction. So you always see addiction and interference connected in a relationship. So our individual addictive patterns that are taking us away from, they're distracting us from relating with through our hearts, from looking someone in the eye, from being absolutely honest about what you're feeling, from taking responsibility for your own karma, your own states. You know, the interference frequency pushes us to blame, to project, to complain.
Right.
All these patterns that just takes us out. You know, do you see what I mean? And then it creates more interference, the shadow, and more addiction. Because it drives more people into their fear patterns.
Yeah.
So this is I'll leave it there.
Well, Richard, I mean, everything you're saying is, you know, things that I tell in, you know, in conversations with my community and, you know, and a lot of the information that we're putting out there, even a lot of the Steiner stuff, it's all predicated on, you know, developing children and having children understand empathy and, you know, be in the field, be in the garden, be interactive and be highly respected and honored for building intuition, you know, which is something that has pretty much all but gone extinct except in small circles. And it speaks directly to this.
Very
because
much.
If a child's intuition had been suppressed and been beaten up by fear tactics and shaming and things of that nature, you know, it's almost impossible to just roll into a balanced experience through the lens of the gene keys if the gene keys was not known, because the wounds are there, the trauma's there, not trusting self. How are they going to trust the next person? Now we get into addictive patterns. It's, you know, it's like lock, stock, and barrel. It's not complicated. And so now that we've set that grounded position, let's go into the next phase. So someone who has this key, how are they approaching their, I would say, their ability to determine how they're operating in the sequence? Is it just having an honest question with yourself? Or is it an entire process? Because I see a lot of this in my realm, just being honest, you know, looking back at it from age 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and on. I see the work that I've also done on myself over the last 12 years and how that's, you know, put me in a completely different position as a man and as a communicator and as someone that, you know, is all about building legacy brothers and sisters, you know, people that you can be so intimate with that we can have these deep conversations and reflections for each other. If we're not doing that, what the hell are we doing? What is this? Let's keep going as we come out of the root and the shadow of it. Let's keep moving forward.
Yeah, well, I'll start and then you jump in, Elijah. I think, you know, the place to begin is relationships, because we're heading towards teamwork, you know. And so we have to start, you know, it's great what you said about the child, the children, and one of the kind of mystic layers of this gene key is, as Elijah mentioned earlier, the original I Ching, it's called coming to meet. I love these old names that are interpreted from the original Chinese, coming to meet. And it's about incarnation. You come in to meet your karma and to meet your karmic family. And it's, so it has a lot to do with karmic relationships. So you come into a form and a situation and a group and a family and a community. And then you have to deal with this interference frequency that is littered throughout your life. And relationship by relationship, you can use these relationships to awaken the gift of teamwork. And teamwork is a lovely gift, because it's not just about like working as part of like a football team or, you know, that it's teamwork. It's about collaboration. It's about honesty. And, you know, it's about listening to those instincts. It's about really knowing your own fear that drives you and your level of distrust, and seeing that in action, and then working it through with people, working it through with your partners, with your, you know, with your family, and not addict, you know, using the addiction to kind of drive you and distract you away from the truth that's sitting right in front of you right now. So there's no need to go anywhere, because you came to meet and you have exactly the karmic forces in your life. Everyone listening to this right now around you, you have exactly the ingredients you need to awaken to the next level of synarchy, of teamwork. And that means through your biology, through your relationships, through your community, through everything at all levels. So whatever questions you have about your health, about your relationships, about your business, I haven't got enough money, I haven't got this, all of that is contained in this key. Like, you have to address the relationships in front of you right now. And that's where the beautiful gifts are. So you got to have the courage to build bridges with the people around you and to heal. We were talking earlier about repair and heal old wounds, because you came into the, you came here into this incarnation package to meet these old wounds in the kind of figure of someone else, so that you could go through a theater, a journey, and then forgive each other, awaken, you know, let go, surrender, fall in love, repair old wounds. And they may not even be yours. They may be wounds from the ancestral lineage that you're part of. So teamwork is a whole nother stage to operate on. And it's, you know, there's a huge amount of love, and it is the spirit of collaboration. So in business, it's about having clear relationships, transparency, openness, you know, bringing generosity, philanthropy, all those keys back into the world, you know, so that we begin to, you know, and the gift frequency is it's dynamic. So it's kind of learning on its feet. So it's not perfect. Synarchy is perfect, but we're not there. So teamwork is messy.
It's supposed to be. There's supposed to be friction.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, so it's about, it, you know,
about getting in there.
Do you want to add something?
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing to feel that the intelligence of every relationship has the ingredients for the incredible mission that's available inside that. And I think that courage that you speak to, that go into the fear, and actually discover the minerals that are available inside that. And we were talking before this started about how the body is actually needing these different processes in balance. And where you can see where we are a poisoned and sick culture on one level, and yet even inside that sickness, these incredible vessels are capable of so much regeneration and repair. And I think that's the glory of not falling into the fear of the unease and the entropy, but actually trusting in what you said, intuition, to listen so deeply to the winds of the world and approach it with freshness, with the heaven's light of this moment. There's a fresh moment inside this relationship. Doesn't mean that this relationship is supposed to stay in this stuck pattern. Relationships are constantly changing and evolving, and teamwork is responsible enough, able to respond to itself, to say, oh, we're in the wrong organization. I'm a liver cell and I'm sitting over here in the lungs. Leave that long enough, we're in cancer. We've lost the system. Yeah. So I have to listen courageously enough to my fractal, and that might change over time and it might change through beings, but we're a part of a self-organizing intelligence. And that, I think, is the like you said, the why we're here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, at this point, there's no other way of living. There's no other way of going back. You know, everything else has to be in a position of such a high level of communication. And ultimately, when I listen to you guys and you break it down based on how the system works and how it is a living, breathing organism, you know, I'm like refracting into my life, you know, all the moments of where I felt the best versus where I was at my deepest low. And it definitely goes in alignment with how this shadow works and how the interference works and the karmic looping and things that have been occurring throughout my childhood. It's really interesting to see this in this form. And there's a lot of, I wouldn't say confirmation, but there's just a lot of things that are coming together in an artistic way right now. And things that I've done in different settings of, you know, working with trauma, working with past stuff, surrendering, releasing, forgiving, speaking to, you know, my 10-year-old self and just loving him unconditionally. So, you know, this is, it's beautiful. This is a medicine journey in itself. And I'm also seeing it also in the lens of the amino acids and minerals and subatomic charges and information and coding of how the body is corresponding and communicating in the most intricate ways with the elements that you mentioned earlier. You know, the recognition that we are of the earth, made of the earth, made of the composites and gases of this earth, and every element that we have a word for it, but those are just words. At the end of the day, we put names on things. It's so much deeper than that. It's very fascinating for me to get the introspective aspects of the gene keys while relating it to our cellular structural engineering. It's just probably one of the most fascinating things ever. And it's something that, you know, we'd have to go down rabbit holes. And I believe it. This demands a lot of research and respect to truly bring something that could be equivocally recognized as accurate outside of just our standard postulations. You know, so I digress. Next step for me, and if you can lead us there, yeah, go ahead.
Would you actually speak to glutamic acid? Your level of awareness of the physical attributes, and this is what's called the codon ring in the gene keys, a genetic grouping. Love to hear that your pontifications on this amino acid.
So, do you want to? Let's first talk about what this is in relation to specifically, and then I'll give a little forward on glutamic acid.
Yeah. So in the keys, they are kind of grouped in. They're grouped in lots of ways. You know, there's a great mystery and coding in the gene keys. And the deeper you go in, the more you find these patterns. And it's a contemplative journey. You know, so this is not like a information-based knowledge. It's a wisdom journey. And so these insights come through our contemplative journey. And it's important that people understand that about the gene keys. It's not like information and data. It's, you know, there is that element to it, but it's really for awakening wisdom that's inside us already. And that's, so it's a slightly different from many other systems that may be more knowledge based.
Sure.
This is wisdom. So it's something that's inside us. So when you look at one of the aspects like of the gene keys is called the codon rings, right? And these are like chemical families of these archetypes, of these gene keys, that are put together because of a shared amino acid, right? And so that you don't have to understand that. And it's at the moment it's kind of a relatively unexplored area of the gene keys. And I myself have been contemplating for years, but I've not written anything on it, and I've not yet taught anything on it. but I've got some insights, but you know, burning away inside me.
How are the amino acids paired to the codons? Where's the cipher for that?
It is a cipher, actually, because every gene key, every hexagram, has a relationship through amino acids that are connected to each other. Do you want to add something about that?
When you look at the 64 base code and how the yin yang and combinations build in the DNA versus also just in the I Ching, and there's beautiful maps that people have explored for many years of this cipher, this codex. Yep. And so I think it's amazing when you look at the wheel and you see how they group into these specific combinations, that of course those amino acids follow those exact same combinations.
Wow,
and so you see these groupings. Some of them are larger than others based off of what the yin-yang binary 1-0 code is revealing.
Right.
And so that's where that grouping is mirrored in our DNA, as well as speaking to macrocosmic genetic groupings of people and movements of whether it's the search for life and death, the seeking pressure inside us, mm-hmm. or in this case, the ring of the Illuminati, this awakened, illuminated essence between these two keys. The 44 being one of them.
And the 50 being the other. So this forms a bridge between two gene keys, 50 and 44. And 50, it's interesting when you get deep in, because you can explore them, and you know, you could explore through the shadow, you can explore through the gift and the city. So the city of 50 is harmony. Mm-hmm. So you have synarchy and harmony, right? Which are beautiful concepts. You know, they're not concepts, they're living realities that underpin everything. We live in a universe that is just filled with harmony. But ultimately, there's also all these kind of interference frequencies, because even if you just look at the heavens and you see the way asteroids are smashing into planets and everything's just, there's it's a terrifically violent universe as well, because birth is incredibly, you know, it's violent in that way. But there's a beauty that's appearing and continuing to appear. And so that synarchy and that harmony, like anyone who's gone really deep into the nature of reality experiences a harmony that cannot, the harmony of the spheres, it cannot be put into words. It's so beautiful. It's so exquisite. The perfection of this universe. This is the ring of the Illuminati. You know, it's an Illuminati is a, has many layers to it, that word. And I understand that some people will think of it as like on a dark level. And you can look at it like that. It's like, yeah, these are fractal groupings of beings that love working at the interference frequency. You know, they're demons. They're dark cabals. They're organized intelligence working at the shadow level. Right? We've known them. They're in our horror genres. They're in our
everywhere.
Conspiracy theories. They're everywhere, and they're real as well. At different levels, they have a relative reality. Right. But then at the highest level, you can see the opposite end of the spectrum are the beings of light, the hierarchies of light, you know, the angelic hierarchies, the kind of deities, the, you know, right up to the God, the divine one, the oneness, the unity. So everything from the huge, vast consciousness, crystalline unity, coming all the way down to the human realms, the animal realms, the human realms, the kind of, like Steiner talked about, all these layers and realms of the etheric beings and the demonic beings, and it's all part of the massive biome of existence, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. The macrobiome.
Absolutely.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Even the dark ones are part of the story, mm-hmm. part of the awakening journey. Like when you go on the shaman's journey or the hero's journey, you got to meet those dark forces inside your biology, inside your being, through your past, through weaving together, you know, past incarnations or past stories that you've left loose threads, you know, and they're still around you in your relationships and your family, and you're like, oh, I don't want to deal with that person, mm-hmm. but they're there, you know, because it's a hook that you haven't yet completed and repaired, that part of the genome, literally of the vast genome. So we're all that glutamic repairing, you know, amino acid. We're all it's symbolic at every fractal level of the universe. So there's these vast self-organizing intelligences at the sort of heaven level, that are imprinting us with their harmony. But we are like, at the other level, we're evolving up towards those higher levels. So there's an involving energy and an evolving energy. And we're sort of caught in the middle, humans. You know, we're caught at this event horizon of higher consciousness and lower consciousness, especially now. And we're struggling to kind of burst through into the higher organizational intelligence. And that's an individuated journey, and it's a relational journey, and it's a planetary journey. You know, so this is where we sort of start to touch into synarchy and what that means. So everything's included. You know, all those storylines of the Illuminati at every level is included in the story. But I guess what I want to say to people is there's a perfection to it that means that you don't have to worry about any of it. The fear is real, yeah, but there's a organizational intelligence behind everything so that you don't have to get hooked into the story of the dark ones and think that you're a victim or think that you even need to kind of, I mean, you can take them on. You should take them on because that's like the warrior of justice, right? If you feel called, that's your journey. But at the same, and it's great to have information and data about these things at all levels. And yet even those stories can become distractions from the cellular truth that there's perfection everywhere, in every single moment. And that brings us to the sort of theater of, you know, what the Gene Keys point towards the theater. It's like, we're in a theater. We're in a divine theater. We come in to meet each other. We play out these games. We exit and we come back in again and we just exit and we're at this like beautiful, you know, continuous journey and moving steadily towards synarchy. So, yeah, anyway, sorry.
Richard, that was beautiful. you had me and Elijah in a deep poetic story and just seeing the uniqueness and observing things not as evil, but just to learn what they are and they're just part of the equation. And, you know, again, that's another philosophy that I've held on deeply into my life is know that we're in the perfect order and all of these are meant to be learned upon and reflected back into your conscious versus feared and looked upon as, you know, the boogeyman. And this does a really good job of helping adapt that into a logical framework of your life and how to operate and why to be a pillar in the community and why to nurture healthy relationships and pass that on to your seed and vice versa and create a new wave of emotional intelligence, nonviolent communication, all the things that are necessary for us to grow in a syntropic experience versus a complete catabolizing breakdown, which is another thing that I look at in terms of human physiology, how the human body works. You know, if you're constantly in a catabolic state, meaning, you know, you've gone completely plant-based, you're cleansing consistently, it's an erratic behavior of trying to remove and remove and remove. At some point, you go into a high level of anxiousness, anxiety, your cells stop communicating with each other, and those symptoms then go into paranoia and not able to confront yourself around other people. It's just a whole like cascading effect. You can see how the spirit and the science of physiology start to mix and combine with each other. And I think, you know, a little bit more about my background in terms of detoxification and cleansing and parasites and, you know, interference, viral loads and these things like that. That starts to pop into my head as we're having these conversations. I'm seeing how they parallel completely in terms of, you know, hosting energy, siphoning energy, keeping the host alive, signaling wrong, confusing patterns to the host, creating metabolic fluctuations, which is how we move energy through this body, through this world, and not allowing the vessel to properly go into repair mode, where things like glutamine can take hold throughout the body and repair tissue damage and spark, you know, basically protein synthesis in the cells. So amino acid chains can rebond and the body can send a signal and says, hey, whatever you do, just build it stronger this time. That's how human physiology works.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Is it healthy to have a little bit of toxin?
Yes, yeah. Of course.
So otherwise, you have too much repair. And as you said, it then kind of overloads the system. So you need homeopathic doses of the shadow.
That's correct. That's the only way the body can work in its polarity, yeah, to be able to always recognize and be able to bounce things off and communicate and have something that it's interacting with. That's why, you know, the act of hormesis, a hormetic philosophy that which does not kill you makes you stronger, right? So the human body needs to have whatever crack is coming its way, but it needs to be timed and known and on a very connective thought process, or it goes into dysregulation, which is chronic stress. You know, we need to chase our food down. We need to hunt for water. We need to be in the cold. We need to jump in the fire. You know, we need to go on a caloric restriction for 3-4 days. We need to antagonize our immune system so genetic markers and pathways can switch on and off. It's the same thing. It's just, yeah, the whole thing spirals into it. And what are we doing by doing that? Well, we're telling our body that we know you're there. Yeah. We understand how you work. We get the patterns. Our brain and hearts are synced up because of that. Our guts are synced up because of that. And we're doing this because we believe in unconditional love and self-love, right? So that just all roots back that your ability to communicate with self and take on higher levels of attainment and get healthier and healthier and healthier really comes down to how bad do you want it? And what discipline do you have to create self-love in your life? I mean, wouldn't you say? I mean, that's it right there. And that's why I'm very anxious about our current construct, you know, because those fundamentals are all but gone. And I say that, you know, in a true state, there are millions of families out there that are, you know, bringing their children into this world now with the clear fundamentals of how this life works and what life is all about. That's happening. I see it all around me. I'm sure you guys do as well. So I'm not worried about our situation. I think it's the greatest experience we can all have fundamentally as a human race.
And didn't we learn this through the pandemic in a way where, you know, everything, sorry to bring up the pandemic.
No, that's fine.
Where we became obsessed with like sterilizing everything, because you can over try and sterilize your consciousness. You can become, you can become obsessed with self-healing. Mm-hmm. You can become obsessed with purity. You know, and too intense, and then also it's another form of interference. You know, we need those little bits of the shadow. We need the dirt, the biome, the met. You know,
totally.
Like we need all of that.
We need to love those things.
Yeah,
which is why it's relationship. And everything, you know, I love this immune system is the physiology. And we think we even use that word, I'm immune to that.
Right.
As if I'm impervious to that outside influence versus what you're describing is a relationship with life and how you rooted it back into self-love. And I love that courage that you bring because you're a strong warrior element that can bring that courage. And it's also relationship with the shame body, relationship with the pain body, relationship with growing up not knowing that's what love can be, or growing up having a different story of what love looks like. So we rise to those metrics of success. So we push over here. So it's all a return to relationship inside the body. And even with those parasitic influences and viral influences and these intelligences that we are sharing a world with, and we need to be in that the power and the beauty of that relationship, that return to health, I feel like, my body needs the elements. It needs that cold water. It needs that hot fire. It needs that peace. I'm not just doing it because this mechanical vessel requires that in order for me to go. I'm doing it because this is the greatest love story that is possible.
Right.
I get to be in relationship with it.
Right.
And then teamwork, we need each other. And I think that's that big piece of we isolate with that hyper cleansing, right? Whether you're hyper sterilizing and isolating because you're afraid of the world, or you're hyper purging because you're afraid of yourself. You don't trust the intelligence of this. And we need that teamwork. Yeah. Suddenly it does actually ripple into our relationships. Ooh, give me that. Let me osmose the medicine you've discovered and let's share those codes so that I can rediscover my own inner relationship to that health in a new way. And we've now, the biodiversity is spreading again. And suddenly synarchy builds synergy is fueled a little bit more from that relationship.
I was in a forest recently with a mycologist, you know, and he was teaching me about the mushrooms, and he pointed out this very common fungus called honey fungus, which is a kind of fungus that is like an assassin, and it kind of we saw this tree, and the honey fungus had just and you know, people at gardeners like try and fight it, right?
Yeah.
Because what it does is it singles out a weak tree, and then it just hones in with a massive amount of fungus, and it kills it, assassinates it,
yeah,
takes it out,
yeah,
and then moves it to another weak tree.
Yeah.
And that's what it does. So gardeners like try and get rid of it, but actually it's one of those healthy kind of Illuminati, like this, just a gang of these guys going around picking off weak organisms,
yeah,
in order to make the whole more healthy. And yep, we have them in our gut, right, as well. Gangs of bacteria that just kind of work and just kind of take out weak links.
Mm-hmm.
And it's everywhere throughout the whole of the hierarchy of creation, are these beautiful beings whose job it is to just kind of cleanse the organisms. Like all the, you know, the rats and those creatures that kind of clean and, you know, clean up the toxins, and, you know, the snakes that kind of
everything
are able to, the vulture that's able to just digest,
like
the most incredible toxins inside itself, and
the sacred cow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nature is filled with those creatures, right?
Our entire ecosystem is dependent on the sacred cow's ability to transmit its coding system upon the grass and fulvic and humic. I mean, that's how we're alive right now,
yeah,
you know, and that's a very, I love the metaphor in that, and the illustration of just how everything has to merge together to create the perfection that this place existed upon and was birthed upon.
Teamwork.
And I mean, that's the ultimate level. I mean, that's synarchy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at that point.
You know, the bees express synarchy, the ants, the termites, they, you know, when you see a flock of birds all moving, or anchovies, you know, all moving together as one organism, those are like expressions of synarchy, really pure, operating together as one consciousness. And of course, synarchy, what it's pointing us towards is that's where our human intelligence is heading.
Wow.
You know, we're heading to be one of those consciousness forms, but it's a huge quantum leap that we have to go through. And, you know, Gene Key 55, which is the next master key, tells that story of the new human, the Homo Sanctus, I call it. Like, this is the transition we're moving through to this next universal collective intelligence. But we've got to work out our teamwork first, you know, in our families, our businesses, our, you know, everything. We've got to do the teamwork, the messy kind of sometimes unpleasant airing of our laundry together, and just honesty and responsibility. And we can't get to freedom unless we've gone through this, you know, and people are trying to jump to freedom without having done the laundry. So it's a real wake up call, this key. It's a beautiful, gutsy, kind of earthy, gene key, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like roll your sleeves up, right? It's gonna get a little bit messy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, that's really healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk, you know, what we're gonna be talking about, or what I'm gonna get into a lot over the weekend over at the Six Senses, is about stagnation.
Mm.
And, you know, most people, you would hear the word stagnation, you think something's slowing down, something's not moving. And stagnation can come in so many forms. It can come in starts in your thoughts. You know, Steiner says all disease begins in the mind, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's the inability to activate what you know is your truth, and suppressing it. And when you start suppressing, you become depressive, your energy drops, metabolic functions drop. Now you're not getting up every day. Now you need stimulants. Then you go into the rat race. It can go on and on and on. Before you know it, you know, you're addicted to prescription drugs. You know, you're not sleeping properly. You know, you're having all kinds of symptoms. and you're wondering, how do I get another allopathic solution to a spiritual breakdown? And that's what I love about these conversations, is because they directly refract into human health. Every aspect of the mental, emotional, spiritual boundaries that are going back and forth and into these analogs of concepts and thoughts are directly lined up with the body's ability to repair itself and to love itself. It's the same thing. And it's very exciting. I mean, I feel like there's so many ways we can really integrate human health with this. And I think that might be the next chapter, and something that we can work on in the near future and put some serious thought into it and really research and evaluate all the amino acids and understand the breakdown of what they serve in nature and within us, because they're complex in nature and they are very dynamic in terms of what they do and what they don't do. It's really interesting. Same with the mineral world as well. And I'd love to pair minerals with this and see what that looks like. We'd have to go deep into the books and see what's over there. I'm sure there's stuff there. Okay, let's put kind of a bow on this. What is the next step for someone listening to this right now? They're having this conversation. We're just riffing on this stuff. How do they approach this in their life? Is it just having a real aha moment and looking at the closest five people in your life?
Before we just go there, which I think is a perfect ending.
Yeah.
I want to put one little cherry on the top of the previous conversation, because there's an important point here to do with an understanding that when people take that word synarchy, they often assume it means something similar to heterarchy, right? And heterarchy is a horizontal kind of way in which people are equal, you know, so they have equal. So hierarchy is vertical, heterarchy is horizontal. So in an organization, if you have a heterarchy, then there's no boss. Everyone's the boss.
Playing field.
Yeah. So they work together, and that's a different kind of team. That can be a very effective team in some respects. And then we kind of have this notion that the hierarchy is an old way, and it's like something we need to kind of get beyond and past. Mm-hmm. Synarchy is not. Well, let's say what it is. Synarchy is the balance of those two working together. So you've got to have hierarchy and you've got to have a heterarchy. You can't get rid of hierarchy. In fact, hierarchy is essential at certain times.
Mm.
And often what happens is heterarchy can be a beautiful creative energy in a group or in a team or in the whole of humanity. But every now and again, it starts to stagnate.
Mm.
And that's when hierarchy has to kind of well up and step in, and then kind of that hierarchical leadership comes in and just resets the thing, and then it goes back down as a wave into the heterarchy.
Mm-hmm.
So I want people to understand that we're not to get rid of hierarchy.
Mm.
You know, it's an integrated part. It's everywhere in nature.
Yeah.
Everything is hierarchical.
Yeah.
At every level.
Yeah.
Right up to the divine kind of highest consciousness.
That's right.
You know?
There needs to be something that's spiraling the energy.
Yeah.
So it's moving, kind of like a pond that if there's no water force coming into that pond, creating oxygenation and the pond bubbles, all of a sudden within 24 hours, that pond becomes poisonous, toxins, exactly. Algae bloom, things like that. So there needs to be something that's keeping that situation not stagnated. Fascinating.
Yeah, it's what we were saying recently, like you can't have freedom without responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, freedom without responsibility, it's not real freedom.
Right.
You know, you've got to have some boundaries and along with your freedom.
Yeah.
I respect that. It's not about losing boundaries and this kind of.
Yeah, I respect that. Yeah. I think that if we're going to collapse and surrender and expand and do all that stuff, it has to reform at some point. It's that's polarity. That's the ecosystems.
Nuance.
Yeah. No, I love that.
It has infinite subtlety. Yeah.
So I see that as discipline. That's the first thing that pops into me is that, I can be hyper spiritual. We can do all the craziest stuff, but I'm rigid with what time I'm going to sleep. I'm rigid with my philosophy. I'm rigid with, the things that I know that are healthy for my body, and I'm doing the things that are I'm failing the plan is planning to fail. I'm living with that embodiment, and that's there's a structural part of that that's very powerful, and so I see that in this.
Maybe that's a good beginning to the final. You know, it's like have discipline.
Yeah.
You know, it's like find out what it is in your life that you know that you need to kind of work with the interference frequencies in your life. Like start to identify where they are, the shadows, and start to really look at them and soften into them. Mm-hmm. Don't get all tense and think you're going to have to go to war with them. You're going to soften into your difficult relationships. Mm. You're going to start building bridges, you know? And so in Gene Keys, we have all these beautiful sequences and journeys that help us in relationships, in business, wherever you want to go, wherever the kind of problem area is you want to start with, you can start there. Mm. Like, so for many people, they begin with what we call the activation sequence with their profile, which is, let's start with the foundation, which is, what am I here to do? Who am I, you know, what is my higher purpose? How can I be of the greatest service? You know, that's our most popular program, right? So if people are interested in Gene Keys, you can get your profile. And I would recommend going into that program and exploring the four keys like we did with you yesterday, Elijah did, like the four prime gifts, which are the pillars of your genius. And we created a beautiful little, very affordable program that takes you step by step through those keys and begins to empower you to understand and unlock the kind of shadow patterns that are kind of you'll see manifest in your life and begin to transform them. And you're probably doing that already, but it gives you just a beautiful reflection that you're heading in the right direction. Mm. And it gives you more layers. And I think perhaps the greatest treasure of the Gene Keys is it gives you these highest keynotes, these siddhis, you know, that shows you underneath everything, you are this cosmic deity trying to come into form, waiting to come into form. And that then becomes your beacon. You know, and you build a reference point in your contemplative practice of like, that is me. I am Synarchy. I am compassion. I am, you know, veneration. I am illumination. That's my highest enlightened state. And it's already inside me. I'm going to have to just do some shadow work and some peeling away of the onion, and that's what's going to be left there.
Mm.
So it gives you that framework. And so anyone who's interested, I throw the gauntlet down and like say, come on, step into these beautiful teachings and do it with someone you love. Do it with someone. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a beautiful thing to do, because then you travel a journey together and you know, it's about relationship. So do it with a group of people you love and even more powerful.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. So anyway, that's what I'd say. Get started. Elijah, I don't know if you want to add something.
Beautiful, Richard. Thank you.
You know, with the elemental wisdom that we've been bringing in, and I love that discipline is one of your like virtuous pillars, and how, and in this key, the element of heaven, was my Qigong teacher would say, heaven is always in motion.
Mm-hmm.
So that acknowledgement of stagnation, and as you said, how the mind can influence the body so deeply that the disease and these unease emerges from those thoughts that are out of alignment. And the gentle path isn't a weak path. Mm-hmm. And so the wind element here is subtle yet penetrating. So heaven is always in motion, and yet the wind is subtle and penetrating. So can we add those tiny little pauses inside those moments of addictive loops? Mm-hmm. That's what this key in particular teaches me, is I interfere with my life when I let those addictive loops, without giving presence a moment to rest in the gap right before the Ouroboros of my habit eats the other half of the tail. Can I pause in that moment? You know, and can ritual remind me what has become habitual? Can I not let my rituals become habitual? You know, not even let discipline lose itself into the mechanics of it, but actually the intelligence of it. And that's why one of our, you know, with the gauntlet of the profile and the doing that deep work is also the discipline to pause, the courage to move slowly. That is one of the most powerful points of connection for me that I found in my life for a longevity and resilience with the waves of turbulence. And so I just want to honor that of the, even the simple technique of creating a little more space and pauses inside our day has the potential for quantum leaps as well. And to watch those habits, I drink this medicine in for myself of watching those tiny addictive moments, and can we actually breathe a little more space into them? I think we'll find the keys to synarchy live in the smallest of places.
Wow. I really appreciate both of those mutual perspectives, and I'm taking them all in. Like, I'm actually applying them right now to my reality and seeing how they can groove and fit, and doing an evaluation. You know, that's one of the things that we always talk about. You know, there's many ancients that had philosophies around devout meditation and refracting on your everyday life. Like, what happened today? Why, what about this irritated me? Why did I escape in this moment? You know, a Rosicrucian would evaluate before bed every night, every single one of those things, and treat their life, you know, not as a maniacal imprint, but as an art form to learn and get better and to evaluate. And that's what I kept thinking about when you were explaining your perspective on this, is to slow things down. Allow things to come to you to a certain degree, wait for the invitation, and just breathe, for God's sakes. You know, we're all breathing 40 to 60 times a minute, which is the exact opposite of syntropy in the body. We should be having about 1, 2, maybe 3 breaths a minute. Every 20 seconds should be the inhale and exhale combined through the nose. And the fact that we're all like we're, you know, running away from a lion in the wild, and so our body's not in parasympathetic state. We're constantly in a fight flight. There's a good book called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. Everyone should read that. It speaks to this and what you just said as well. I love this. we could do this all day long. We can go into the whole thing, and I think we will. Guys, it's an honor to be in Ibiza with our extended families, our immediate families, our loved ones, to be here on this mountaintop, to getting the trade winds, this cool breeze that's passing through stories of courage, stories of pain, stories of love. You know, I feel like I'm in the movie set of Zorro, and you know, in the Count of Monte Cristo. You know, this is a book about perseverance and breaking away from a false jail.
We were saying Shakespeare's Tempest.
There you go. That one too. This is
set on an island.
It's on an island. It's an honor. It's an absolute honor. And I have so much gratitude.
Thank you for the tea. So,
thank you for serving, my friend. Richard, cheers to you, my friend. Too.